Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
If scary movies give you dread, keep you up late night in bed, here's a podcast that will help you ease your mind. We'll explain the plot real nicely, then we'll talk about what's frightening so you never have to have a spooky time. It's Ruined.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Ruined. I'm Hallie.
I'm Allison.
And this is a podcast. We ruin a horror movie just for you.
Thank you for joining us. How you doing?
I'm okay. I was going to say, have you had anything particularly horrifying happen to you this week?
Not the general ambient horror
of the world.
Yeah, I would say, and it's so hard because like we're a week or two ahead. So like God knows what has unfolded in all of the nightmare corners of our political and cultural moment. The birds are coming back, and that is
you hate them.
Oh. I hate them. Well, like, there's a big tree outside behind my apartment, off my, like, terrace, and in the winter, there aren't any birds, because there's nothing for them to do, but we are entering spring, we are starting to get blooming stuff, and just yesterday, for the first time, there was a bird, like, on the railing of my terrace, and I was just like, don't you try and get in here.
I do like that you're, you know, as we approach 40, you are solidifying your role in your neighborhood as woman with contentious relationship with the birds.
Yes, yes.
A New York staple. You got to have that lady on your block, okay?
Also, like, I've asked other people in my I have a friend in my building who lives, in, like, exactly three floors up from me. And I'm like, did you ever get a bird fly directly into your window or door? And she was like, no. And I'm like, ugh. I'm, like, exactly at the right height for the tree. But now that Riz is here, Riz the cat of the pod, I do feel like his presence in the windowsill might deter the birds. Because I used to have a big fake owl, and I put it away for the season. But I might not need it this year because now Riz is there, like, terrifying anything that comes across the terrace.
Oh, and he's basically an owl.
Yeah, he is. Any horrors on your end?
Well, I will say, if you're new, obviously we just joined Crooked Media. If you're new to the pod, welcome. If you're an old hand, you're not going to be surprised by this. So I finally, whatever, you know what podcasts are. I finally was able to get an appointment with a psychiatrist, as I have been talking endlessly for months, and I apologize to everyone about how I believe I have ADHD and I would like to become medicated. And I finally got an appointment, but it's a telehealth, like it's a teledoc appointment. And that is unfortunately where we're at, where it's like I have an appointment in July, but that's, I couldn't get one
July.
Before then. Yeah. And like, I'm going to go, but in the meantime, I was like, well, I guess I'll just, you know,
Zoom with
the person
someone
I meet on the Zoom. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is like, that is just how things are. Like you can easily get medication, but it's hard to meet with, let alone consistently meet with, a healthcare provider. And then I saw that Weight Watchers is kind of giving up the game, which I guess on some level I support, rather than being like, you can lose weight using numbers. It's like, not, I mean, you can, but at what mental cost? Yeah, and it's all going to come back because it's not good for you. But they bought a platform called Sequence that you'll be able to do like a telehealth appointment to get Ozempic. Weight loss injectables. And am I honest? Did I really think, well, I'm probably going to get it then. But also, again, that to me, even more so than psychiatric drugs, which is maybe a little ridiculous, like they both should be something where you are consistently seeing a doctor. But the idea that like somebody's going to send me an injectable to my house, I don't know, man. Without having a doctor, I don't know. Like, I'm sure you do have to see a doctor. Like, I'm not saying that that's not part of it.
No, totally.
But the at-home, in-the-mail medical part of society continues apace to the point where hypothetically we'll all be getting Ozempic in our house.
Yes.
Which feels, I don't know, it doesn't feel great.
I mean, I've had to give myself injections of various medicines over the years. And like, I don't know, is it that different than like somebody talking to you for 5 minutes and then you stop at the pharmacy and bring it home? I mean, it's just easier,
you're right.
It's less errands.
I guess I'm more concerned, like, what if you take something, whatever it is, any kind of medication, and happen to be someone who has an adverse effect.
Yeah.
And then you're just trying to Zoom them. I don't know. Like, that to me.
It is. We're in a very odd point in the American medical system and the healthcare system, and like what, you know, the pandemic and the like rise of technology from your own home has like done to like I never would have thought that like you could video chat with a doctor and that would be like the most common way people were talking to health professionals.
The easiest way. Yeah, I was able to get one in 2 weeks versus seeing someone in person. I mean, look, I'm sure there are benefits to it. I mean, there's a lot of places where you can't see someone. So, like, that is obviously good for that. But there's something about the Ozempic. I'm like, I feel like a doctor should be in the room when you get that. I don't know.
Yeah, the Ozempic of it all is very complicated.
We'll keep posted on those developments.
Yes. Yeah, we'll let you know what's happening with the birds and if Hallie has ADHD. We'll sort out. And I think before we get to this week's movie, we would like to tell everybody, if you're new, this is going to be a new fun thing, which thank you, new Crooked listeners. But we're doing another live show Sunday, April 30th at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. And we are ruining
The Pope's Exorcist, starring Russell Crowe. In case you watch any of WrestleMania, I only got little glimpses of it via Twitter, but I'll tell you, it wet my whistle for this movie because it was like wall-to-wall The Pope's Exorcist ads, and I think that's extremely funny.
That's very funny.
And it is, I don't need to tell you, Russell Crowe plays the Pope's exorcist. I don't know else you want from us. It's going to be great. We're having a great time.
That's going to be so fun. So you can get tickets at moment.co/ruined. And if you can't make it at 7 p.m. or 4 p.m. Or whatever time zone you happen to live in, the feed is up for 72 hours after. So you have, you know, 2 or 3 days, whatever that works out to catch the live show. And we have a fun chat. We'll play some drinking games. It's a great time. So get your tickets Sunday, April 30th, 7 p.m. Eastern, moment.co/ruined.
And if you think we're loose now, my friend,
you should see us
ill,
a little drunk
in the live show. you're gonna need it because we're doing a heavy fucking movie this week. We're doing David Cronenberg's 2022 movie, Crimes of the Future. We've obviously done, David Cronenberg films before.
Yes.
Videodrome being a classic from his oeuvre, which is extensive. And this, I feel like his most recent film got some mixed reviews. I saw it. When did it come out? It came out in June.
Summer.
I saw it when I was going insane. I had just come out, or it was out to myself, but was not out to by a friend of the pod, my ex-fiance Dave Schilling, an incredible writer and a friend of mine to this day. And I saw this during that time, which I think is why it like imprinted on me as a movie I really enjoyed. Because it's got everyone's names a little silly. You know what I mean? Like it is grotesque in the Cronenberg way, but he is making big political swings in a way that I really enjoyed, and especially at the time. I don't know, I was such a raw nerve, and there was something about the body in that moment that I really appreciated. But of course, we always like to have Allison watch the trailer for the film. Allison, what did you think about the trailer for Crimes of the Future?
I did not like this one.
Yeah.
This one is tough. It's
a tough one.
And like, it's also like, not only is like kind of the body horror super traumatizing, but just also like the general tone of the film is like, I feel like we've done movies where it's like there's wild body horror, but like we're kind of having fun.
Videodrome, like it is sensationalist, but in a way where it's like it's
over
the top. It's kind of thrilling.
Yeah, and this is very somber and dark and like just kind of feels grueling in a way.
It is the grueling is absolutely a word for this movie. This is the kind of movie where I feel like watching it, I definitely cried upon rewatching it.
Mm.
And I feel like if you're on the fence, because we obviously have people who don't watch horror at all who listen, but then also big horror fans who just enjoy the re-listen. I do the same as well. I think if you're on the fence, I don't know, man. I don't want to tell you not to see it, obviously. I got a lot out of it, but be in the right mindset, because this is a
fucking that's a good
doozy.
That's a good lesson.
We also like to take a baseline scary of how scary does Allison find the concept of the film? And there's a lot of concepts in the film, but I would say
seems concept heavy.
How scary do you find the concept of the vulnerable human body in the world?
I mean, as someone who is routinely getting operated on for my back, it's both like not that scary. Like there's something about like, especially when we talk about like injuries or surgeries or those things where I'm like, part of it is not that scary because I lived through that. And I'm like, I don't know, like there's worse shit. But then part of it's very scary because I lived through that kind of thing. And like, I understand like to go from being okay to not okay out of the way is very familiar to me. And I've been very lucky that all the times I've herniated discs, I've been sitting in a chair at work or in my home getting dressed. And like, not that there's any good place, but like, I haven't been crossing the street. I haven't been like with someone who would take advantage of like an injury. Like it's all been, so it's just like, you know, you think about like, oh my God, what if I was like walking on a bridge and this happened? Like, and then you were just like immobilized or something. Like there is something very real about that kind of fear.
And then from that, how scary do you find the concept of the vulnerable child's body in the world?
Oh, Allison? No. That's that's tough. There's kids in this?
Oh, yeah. Just one, but it's not good. But yeah.
Oh, I feel like you had mentioned that before when we were discussing doing this movie.
And I think this is sort of a movie that is relevant for our time in a way we are talking about children as – it feels like we talk about children a lot, whether it's like gun violence or like anti-trans, you know, violence. Like we talk about children as like screens on which we project our ideas rather than individuals. Like we were all children, like we were all sentient the whole time and had like opinions and things and lives. And so I think this movie is sort of about the meaning of the body, you know, and in this case, a child's body, but more broadly, like all the things we put onto the body when we, if we lose track of like the body itself has meaning, you know, like everyone has value and meaning. It's almost like, how do you get away from that true reality? I don't know, but we're doing it all the time to everybody, you know, like it's every group we seem to be able to do it. And so that's why I think this movie is sort of examining. And Allison, based on what you know about this, which is like, I don't even know what you can intuit about the plot of this from the trailer, but what do you think the twist will be in David Cronenberg's Crimes of the Future?
Guess the twist.
I can guess that like people are in the future. People are mutilating, like altering their bodies. I would say mutilating because I think altering your body is a perfectly acceptable thing to do. And this seems like mutilation. to sew your eyes shut. I'm just like, pass. But that maybe the guy who spearheaded all of this is an alien.
Okay, all right. I like it. No, that's perfect. That's exactly what I want.
That big,
like,
weird, hard thing that they're in the trail. I don't know. It just seems like otherworldly.
That's, you just summed up all the David Cronenberg's entire cinematic aesthetic. That big, hard, weird thing that guy's inside of, or is inside of a guy.
Totally.
But yeah, let us begin. We'll ruin Crimes of the Future. So we open on the credits, which is already sort of like alluding to, we're going to get in the body. We are in the body so much in this movie. David Cronenberg, body horror. Why mess with a good thing?
It's true.
I mean, he knows
if it ain't broke,
what he's into.
So it's eyes shut.
Yeah, if it ain't broke, baby. they're sort of tattooed internal organs. So internal organs with tattooed images on them. And then we open on a phenomenal image to set us up for where we are in the future, which is like the near future. And we see a little boy playing on a stony beach near a beached capsized luxury cruise ship.
Okay.
So we are close enough to when there would have been luxury cruise ships.
Yes.
Right now. Mm-hmm. And this is the emblem of like things have fallen to shit. So let's say it's 20 years from now. You know, it's really not that. It's close enough, but things have rapidly
Crimes of the very near future.
Yes. And the little boy's name is Brecken. And he's sort of digging around the rocks. And there's like all this, unfortunately, plastic debris, which is constantly in the ocean. And he's scooping in with a spoon. And his mom, Juna, yells from their patio, which is right on the beach. And she says, "I don't want you to eat anything you find in there. I don't care what it is." Which is already a red flag because he's absolutely just scooping up plastic and rocks, right? There's no food anywhere.
Right. Yeah. It's not like, ooh, chicken nuggets.
But he goes back inside, and that night we see Brecken brushing his teeth. And again, I'm so bad with the ages of children.
I mean,
he's 7 or 8. He's sure. Little. He's not 10. He's older than 5. I'm going to say 7. And we see his mother sitting on the edge of their bed while he brushes his teeth. And then Brecken sort of ducks down under the bathroom sink, and he bites into and starts munching on a plastic waste paper basket, like you'd bite into an ice cream cone. Mm. And he produces this very thick white saliva. And as he's eating this plastic can, his mother's watching him. Unfortunately, Allison, as soon as he goes to sleep, she picks up a pillow and smothers him. It is horrifying. He fights her. He's trying to scream, "Mom," and to the point where she has to lay down on top of him and press the pillow over his face.
Why?
Well, later we see her on the toilet, and she's sort of like hitting her foot against the trash can, and she gets a phone call, and she says to the person at the other end, "Tell Lang if he wants to come pick up the body of the creature he calls a son. Yes, I mean the Brecken thing. He can come to the address I gave you. It will be here, and I won't be." And she hangs up, and she breaks down sobbing.
Oh, my God.
And we see Lang, played by Scott Speedman, her ex-husband, arrive at the house and run inside and find his son's body in the bed. Mm. We then cut to our main character, Saul Tenser, who is a performance artist. He is played by Viggo Mortensen. He's sleeping inside what I would call a giant sort of umber rotating placenta. That's big enough for
you're
an adult
saying
man
that
to
like anybody's going to be able to imagine.
Well, but if you're imagining, that is kind of what it is. Rotating
placenta. I mean, it's that is a description of
imagine it. Imagine you're in a placenta, Allison, and it's dangling from the ceiling, and you're also connected to these very like organic looking tubes that are sort of like tentacles attached to different parts of your body, and then the placenta bed is constantly shifting. Specifically to ease the pain in your body, which actually you kind of relate to this as someone who has had multiple spinal
surgeries.
That
sounds kind of great.
Like, yeah, imagine a bed. I'll be honest, it doesn't really fit your aesthetic. But no. The idea is that it's constantly moving to ease the physical pain of Saul Tenser, who sleeps inside of it.
Okay.
And he is awakened by his fellow artist, assistant, and of course lover, Priest. And she wakes him up and says, "You know, how did you sleep?" And he's like,
"Is it Kristen Stewart?
It's not, the bed is not anticipating my needs anymore." So such extreme pain, the bed is constantly rotating, and he's saying it's not cutting it anymore, right?
Okay.
Caprice tells him, "I will call Lifeformware," which is the tech company that made the bed.
It's so funny to think that like a company made that.
100%.
Like, it feels like not like that's in a world where like, I imagine in the future, there's just one company.
I mean, I think that's sort of the implication. That part of it is that like, instead of addressing our actual needs, we have created technology to try to mitigate them.
Yes.
Instead of addressing like, why do you feel like shit? We created a bed that moves constantly. So you feel a little less like shit.
Yes.
Which also ties into our conversation about the medical field or health insurance as it is right now, unfortunately. She said, "I'll call Lifeformware right away. They're usually good about sending someone out." And she tells him the test cooked all night and the results are in. There's a new hormone in Tenser's body. Allison, stay with me here. Saul Tenser has a condition of the future where he generates new organs on a regular basis. These are novel organs that no one's ever seen before.
No.
Allison, you think that's crazy? Things are going to get so much crazier. So that's why I say, stay with me.
I don't know if I can.
Please.
I'm going to try.
So that being said, they refer to him as Neo Organs. And beyond that, Allison, he has made it his art. He is a performance artist. And he talks about it like you and I would talk about a script. Like, "Oh my God, I thought I was all dried up. I thought I didn't have any more in me." And she's like,
"No, I had organ block."
Yeah. And he's like, "Oh, thank God." And Caprice is like, "Oh my God, this could be a good one." And she uses like a very Cronenberg device where instead of like stethoscope, it's an eye stethoscope where the cord goes into your torso. So kind of like a tin can with a string, but the other tin can is Viggo Mortensen. And she's okay. able to look inside it.
Okay.
And she's like, okay, great. Like, it looks like an endocrine gland. It's about the size of an adrenal gland. And he's sort of like, oh, that's not very exciting.
A gland.
I want like a big
fat
organ.
No one's shelling out cash for tickets to see a gland.
Exactly. That's his concern. And she's like, please, like, you're an artist. It's a brand new organ. It's never been seen before. And it's functional. And that's pretty exciting. And he's like, you know, you're right. I can't get down on myself all the time.
Right.
But he tells her, like, you really have, please call Lifeformware. This organ is causing even more pain, and I really would like them to come out and fix my bed, right? Allison, stay with me. It turns out that part of their performance art is that Caprice tattoos the new organs, right? She adds a tattoo pattern to the organs while they're still inside Saul's body.
Ugh. Also, like, as someone who has tattoos, that sounds horrifyingly painful.
But also doesn't
to
it sound
like soft tissue.
It sounds pretty punk rock too. And she does say it's super very hard to do because it's so slippery. I'm like, yes, oh, it would be. It absolutely would be.
Everything inside, pretty slick.
And he says, you know, he's like, because she does these like elaborate patterns, which you saw over the credit sequence. He says, well, why don't you just do something like really recognizable, like a proper tattoo, like an anchor, like a thing that says mother. She's like, no, like the tattoos have to be uniquely self-referential. This is my part of the art, you know. And they have been contacted by a new group, the National Organ Registry. So basically, this is a new, not even publicly announced government office where they are basically saying, this has been happening to a lot of people where they're generating new organs. Mm-hmm. So we need you, when you have the organ removed, to register it with us. Because we're trying to figure out why this keeps happening. It's the future, but even that's a lot for the future.
Yeah. We're not too far in the future where we'd be like, of course, register all the organs.
And even though the bed was bad, Allison, we see Caprice eating
think the
breakfast.
Bed was bad.
And she's like a white, like this, her breakfast is like kind of little anthropology. Like she has like a white blouse and she's eating gruel. And then he's in what I would describe as a, what is the word I'm looking for? Barca lounger made out of human skeletal bones. So it's like a white bone chair that's constantly rotating so that he could eat. It's called, of course, the breakfaster, which actually is much more straightforward than the bed, which is called the orchid bed.
I mean, yeah. Breakfast, I'm like, I get it.
right. You know when you're eating breakfast and you have to get into your skeleton chair that constantly moves so you can swallow? That's what he's
doing. It reminds me. Have you seen those videos of dogs have like some kind of digestive issue where like they can't be on all fours eating because like they can't swallow. They have to be in these like upright like high chairs that they get like they like get in and then they eat kind of like in a more human like position. It's so sweet.
You know,
I'm glad we figured
like,
that out for them.
Yeah. As someone who only eats on all fours, like you really do feel bad for those guys.
Yeah. That's tough.
That evening, after he chokes down his food, he's barely able to swallow it. They live in what I would describe as an abandoned lighthouse. It looks like they're in Greece again. Like things have fallen. The earth has fallen on hard times. And people have turned to of everything. And I guess there's no inclination that there is the internet. So let's say the internet has also collapsed. Mm-hmm. Everyone is out doing and watching performance art, Allison. This is the near future.
I mean, live performance is back, baby.
Exactly. And to be a part of an audience, the electricity, we've all been in those rooms as people who have done comedy. So Tenser always wears a hood and a mask because he's kind of a little bit famous. And they walk through the streets of town together.
So a question.
Yes, please. Oh, please. Please ask as many questions as you need.
You're like, I can't understand how you could have a question about this very straightforward
plot. No.
Why doesn't he need a machine to make him move? Is him walking enough to keep the pain at bay? And it's more just if he's sitting or lying down that there's not enough movement. Like he could go out in the world and walk around.
Yes, he could walk around and he could do his performance art. We see him go to offices. We see him, we see him go to the doctor. Mm-hmm. I think it's like if his body's at rest, it's in extreme pain. So when he's sleeping, when he's trying to sit and eat, I think you're right. I think it's unfortunately these moments where he cannot do it. Like his body just starts to attack him. So they're going, of course, to a performance piece. And on the way there, we see two men and women. And they are sort of making out in a dark corner of a street. And they're nice. Cutting each other with a blade, Allison. And one of the men looks up. And he recognizes Tenser as like this famous performance artist. And that man is Lang, who we saw that is Brecken's father.
Okay.
And we see him bite into what looks like a purple protein bar, much like our sponsor, Mosh. Mosh, get the fuel you need to fight crimes of the future.
Brain food for future crime.
This is also a great, like, it always looks like it's the dead of night, so it's never clear. So it is at the nighttime. Sorry, I said they were going to a performance art show. That's later. They are actually going to the National Organ Registry at night, like you do.
Love a night appointment.
And he meets Timlin, who is played by Kristen Stewart, and Whippet, who are the two employees there. And they are so startled, like, oh my God, he's here. Oh my God, you are so famous. Like, we cannot believe we're meeting you. Like, because they work in the organ registry. So they're like, oh, we know everyone's organs.
This is their whole thing. Yeah.
Like, you are iconic. You have been doing, like, apparently he, like, invented tattooing the organs. Like, he has created a portfolio of all his organs, which they're like, thank you for giving this. This is very important because then we could actually catalog, like, why is this happening? You know, that try to draw any conclusions from the organs, right? And also, every set looks like a fucking dump. So it's like they go in the office. It's not a night. Like, everything is, again, bureaucracy has collapsed. Like, the government is, you know, clearly struggling.
Yes.
And they're like, we're secret, but we're going to be made public. We're going to be part of the new vice unit under the Justice Department. And Tenser's like, this isn't a vice. Like, this just happens to me. Like, we're not committing a crime. And Caprice is like, wait, can you explain this? Like, how is this supposed to work? And Whippet and Timlin says, basically, governments all over the world have noticed that human bodies seem to be evolving. And Whippet explains,
human evolution is the concern that it's going wrong. That it's uncontrolled, it's insurrectional. It might lead us to a bad place.
So sort of like they want to catalog these organs because they're coming from a place of this is bad. And it does seem like a human thing. Like as soon as a human body changes, we have to immediately like stigmatize it, categorize it, and then try to control it. That does seem like us. Tale as old as time. And Whippet points out, which is some other important information for what is going to happen in the movie, Allison, is he said, for example, in addition to the organs, the world has become a much more dangerous place because people do not feel pain anymore. Nor do they get infections. And he's like, that's horrible because pain is a warning system. It is the body needs pain. And what does it mean now that it's gone? And he said, in fact, people are sort of, he's lamenting the new fad, desktop surgery. So people just started doing surgery in public.
Oh, and my God.
And to be clear, Allison, we absolutely would be doing that.
Oh, no question.
It would we're be already just YouTubers just doing surgery on each other.
Yeah, we're already like, it's like you can walk into like something called a med spa and get like full plastic surgery at this point and walk out. Like it's, we're doing
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And again, like people would be doing it for accolades for the artistic part of it, of course, but also for attention, you know? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Timlin says, okay, anyway, so our records indicate you've been growing novel organs for years, but you always have them removed. And Caprice and Tenser's like, look at this guy. Like, he looks horrible. Of course we have them removed. They're basically tumors. The guy could barely stand up.
Right.
And Caprice explains, I remove these organs as a part of our performance. We're performance artists. So basically, Allison, as their performance, and again, they don't really, nobody feels pain anymore. They open up Tenser's body and they remove the tattooed organs and then everyone applauds and has champagne. That is their performance.
I guess.
And again, if you could draw the crowd, if you could be like, oh, I'm a millionaire now, you see what people will do for Patreon, including us. Oh. Thank you for everyone who is part of our Patreon. Probably not a lot of self-surgery in the future, but, you know, you never know where things are going to go financially for us. But, you know, you see what people do now for money.
Absolutely.
And maybe everyone would be taking out their organs if you could get paid. Sure. But Timlin and Caprice sort of have this, like, little tension. Timlin's obviously hitting on Tenser and is, like, sort of jealous of Caprice. So they get to have this, like, artistic life that seems so important to her, you know? And Caprice says, you know, I met one, Saul was injured on duty and I was a trauma surgeon at First General. And when we met, we unleashed things in each other. I would love to be in a relationship where something we unleash something in each other. I love that description.
Yeah.
Because then they were
unleashing,
like,
very horny.
Don't we want to all be unleashed? Mm-hmm. Maybe one day. And Whippet started joking, like, I'll tell you what you guys are. You're stars, okay? Everyone wants to be a performance artist these days, but not everyone could do it. You guys are the fucking best. Finally, they're like, we're going to register your new organ, that the one that's growing in his body right now that hasn't even been removed. And so they sort of take their ocular cords. And they're like, oh my God, the tattoo work is incredible. It's almost sensual. And, you know, thank you for coming in and thank you for giving us all this information. Mm-hmm. We actually are going to tattoo the organs we received to indicate like where they're from, much like you guys. We're sort of going to take your bit and use it on these other organs. And their concern is if you don't take the organs out, they might become hereditary and then be passed down parent to child. And the concern about that is if that happens, then the child is not strictly human. And the government is very, very concerned about who is or is not a human.
Why wouldn't it be human? Because it has different organs?
Yes. Basically, they're saying like if it evolves into something that is not a human, that is scary and dangerous.
Okay.
And again, that I guess the government would do that. Like, it's like we only know how to address change by assuming it's horrible and punishing people. So that makes sense. Back at home, Caprice is pissed. She's like, why did you invite those two fucking weirdos to our show? Which is the next night. He's like, I don't know, it'll be on our side. They could see, you know, like all the value and the beauty of what we do, you know?
We're proving that this isn't, you know, a crime.
And Caprice is like, I don't know about that Timlin. She's especially creepy, which is really funny to see, like, in such a creepy world, to have somebody be like, no, but we think she's creepy.
Yeah.
Is amazing. And then he tells her, and by the way, I hate the tattoo you put on the organ. I think it takes away meaning from the organ. And then they're having like a passive aggressive, like, lover's quarrel.
The specific tattoo or just the tattooing in general?
I think the tattooing in general. I think there's sort of this tension of like, who is the artist? Like, he's making the organs, but it is her art on them. So I think it is like a, you know, she does not want to feel like she's just the assistant or just like the muse. You know, she's like, it is my art. And she says, anyways, the life form technicians are here and you need to get into the placenta bed, you know, so they could fix it, you know. Like, however, most fights end is when someone arrives to fix your placenta bed.
Yeah.
The technicians that arrived are named Burst and Router. So that's where we're at with when I saw Router, I'm like,
Router,
that's fucking off Cronenberg Router.
Is it? Yeah, Router is it.
And so they're looking, they're like, we're going to fix the orchid bed and then we can take the information from that and fix the breakfaster chair. Don't worry. And then they look at their paperwork, they're like, oh my God, you have a SARC unit. And he's like, yep. And the SARC unit used to be an autopsy capsule, but they stopped making them. But Tenzin and Caprice have this autopsy capsule, but they don't, they're like, why do you have this? You don't perform autopsies, right? Well, Allison Caprice walks in and looks at this. It looks like a giant organic coffin. Like, it looks like a beetle, but like big enough for a man to be inside. And Caprice walks in and says, it's my paintbrush. Cut to the performance art show where there's a bunch of people filming it. Because, okay, of course you'd fucking film this.
Oh, of course. But like, where would you put it?
Well, that's the thing. I guess like when you're that successful, you just...
Without the internet, where's it going?
Oh, that's a great question. I think you projected on like a bunch of old tube TVs, which are also in the room. And there's one where it just says body is reality. It's like, hell yeah. All right.
Okay.
So they're now doing their show. Also, Lang is there and he's eating one of the purple bars and he's not filming. He's like clearly very distressed, obviously, having been through what he's been through with the sun. Caprice uses a control pad on her torso, which looks like what I would describe, and I'm just going to say, is a turtle that's also a vagina. And it's covered in sort of glowing rainbow buttons. And with it, she controls the appendages of the SARC unit, which sort of like looks like insect legs or skeletal arms.
Great.
And they cut into Tenser's body, which because it is not, he doesn't experience pain, is sort of sexual. Like his pain seems sexual, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the little arms open up his body and they reach in to pull out the tattooed organ and the crowd gasps. And then Caprice seals him back up. And then everyone's having cocktails. And they have like the organ in a jar. And they're like, oh my God, that was incredible. Like you guys were crazy. They're so good.
What happens to the organs after they're removed? Are they all just kind of somewhere?
They're taken to the National Organ Registry.
Okay. So they
have to be taken there. Yes. And that is my understanding. I don't know what they did beforehand. I think they probably would just put them in a jar and put them in their house.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you're doing anything with them.
Right.
But Tamlin and Whippet are looking at the organ, and Whippet's like, please don't go over and talk to them. Like, we shouldn't have even come. This is so embarrassing. And so Tamlin's like, absolutely not. She goes over and immediately starts hitting on Tenser and asks him the question, which I think is, it's not the pivotal question, but it is, again, the most Cronenberg question in the movie, which is, surgery is sex, isn't it? Surgery is the new sex. Now, Allison, do you think that surgery is the new sex?
No. I mean, not now.
Are we headed there?
I don't think so.
Surgery is certainly something. It's certainly the new something, but sexual, like, I don't know.
I've found it to be very not sexual when I've had surgery. Like, right. It is
that would
very
be shocking to find out if it was, though.
Like, I understand there's, like, just kind of some fundamental, like, you are entering, you are, like, trying to create a new sensation or eliminate a bad sensation. Like, I get that, like, there are parallels, but I just don't see a world where, like, we end up kind of merging those two experiences.
I concur. And I think, you know, again,
if people
listen,
can't feel pain, are they orgasming?
You know, it's
like, I
unclear.
Feel like you need, like, it's like the pain, pleasure, the two sides of a coin. Like, if you can't feel, what, like, does the other exist?
Right. And I think there's not a lot that implies they experience pleasure. They don't really talk about a pleasure as much now that you're saying it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That's a really good question. Do you need to have pain to experience pleasure? You'd think the same mechanism by which pain would if pain doesn't exist, you'd think pleasure also wouldn't exist.
Nerves. David Cronenberg, if you're listening, please let us know.
Yeah, I'm sure he knows the answer, and definitely. Maybe I just didn't intuit it. But Tenser says, does there need to be a new sex? Which I think is also a great question. Does there
absolutely
need to be a new sex?
What's wrong with the old way?
And Tilda says, of course. And she says, I just want you to know, when I saw Caprice cutting into you, I wish you were cutting into me. And then she runs away. And Caprice says, what the hell was that? And Tenser says, another epiphany. Art triumphs again. We also see Burst and Router are there, and they're talking to Lang and this other guy about the, like, oh my God, like, we are working on his machines. Like, they are iconic. Like, we love them. And we see Lang is eating one of his purple protein bars, and he puts it down, and then the drunk guy next to him picks it up and takes a bite. Allison, he immediately becomes violently ill and collapses.
Okay.
And everyone
so the purple
runs
protein
over.
Bars, something's happening with them.
So
and
we've
specifically
seen
Lang.
Yeah, so we've seen Lang eat it, somebody else ate it, and basically dropped dead instantly. Okay. Lang runs out with his bars, people run over. The next day, Whippet and Timlin visit Detective Cope, who is a detective at the new Vice Unit. And he says, okay, we need to talk about Saul Tenser. And like, yeah, we know him. We have his organ portfolio. He came in like he's supposed to, you know. And he started trying to find out because he works in Vice. He's like, okay, so what the fuck are we talking about? And Tim says he's an artist. He's a new organ. It's like discovering a new Picasso to him. Mm-hmm. And Cope lifts up his shirt and he has like a lump on his abdomen. He says, you know, am I an artist too? Take a look at that lump. Does that make me Van Gogh? And Timlin's very offended by this and says,
he takes the rebellion of his own body and seizes control of it, shapes it, tattoos it, displays it, creates theater out of it. It has meaning, very potent meaning, and many, many people respond to it.
Dr. Cope's like, okay, I'm just a cop. Okay, don't have to get mad at me, you know. And he's looking at the portfolio of the organs, and he's like, well, if anything, Caprice seems like the artist. She's the one tattooing it. He's kind of a glorified organ donor, if you ask me.
Yeah,
it's like, she's the one who's out here doing the work. And they say, well, we actually have some suspicions based on like the sheer number of organs he's growing. We think on some level, and it might be just subconscious, that Saul Tenser is actually making his organs grow. Like he is psychological, like he's somehow mentally
forcing
causing
it.
This. Yes. Yeah. Even if he isn't aware of that, which is Cope's like, that'd be fucking crazy. Okay. So they leave, and in the morning, Caprice comes to wake up Tenser, and the bed is let him know that he's already developing a new organ. He literally just got the old one out. And she said, should we be worried? Because normally it takes a minute. And now you're just making him like this. He says, I don't know. I'm feeling very creative. Then they go, the next freaky deaky art night, we see the artist from the trailer, Klinkik, who is, of course, a new gentleman whose eyes and mouth are sewn together, or so closed, and he's covered in ears, and he does sort of like a sensual dance while everyone watches. And
Come on, man.
Yeah, listen, he's, you know what, he's living out loud, and he's going for it, and for
he
that I applaud
out loud.
him.
So he's doing him.
He's doing him, Allison. And this, Saul's kind of watching, crouched in the shadows with his like mask and hood up. And this woman, Adrian, comes over and says, "You know, those ears don't even work right. They're just for show," which I thought was like such a mean, like bitchy thing that someone would say if this became the new art. It's like, he can't even fucking hear it. That's humiliating. Like, can you believe it? But the thing is, she's actually that artist's biological coordinator. So it's actually on her. You know, it's like,
yeah, wait, that's your fault, lady.
Yeah. And she says to Tanser, "Are you working on anything new?" He's like, "I kind of don't know until it shows up. Like, I'm not working on anything. Like, maybe, you know, I think
seeing what kind of horrors befall me and then trying to turn it into art."
And I try to eat soup and I want to die. Like, that's kind of my whole bag, lady.
I sleep in an egg.
Yeah, you tell me. I sleep in an egg and it rotates me and I scream all night. Like, grow up. But she said, "Have you heard of Dr. Nassiter?" And she says, "Inner beauty is his special, just like you." Wink, wink. And she gives him a slip of paper and says, "I made you an appointment." He's like, "Oh, is this like a consultation? Because you think I have a medical problem?"
I mean, you.
And she's like, "No,
I do have a medical problem." Like, just to be clear,
are you fucking implying?
Absolutely, have a medical problem.
If anyone has a medical problem, it is you, dude. I'm sorry to be
the definition of what a medical problem is.
Yeah, I think like you're doing the best you can with it, but it is a problem. It affects your life in a negative way. And she says, "No, actually, you need a consultation because you have a political problem." And then she just kind of sidles away into the crowd. Outside, we see Tenser shambling his way home, only to be followed by Lang, who confronts him, because even Lang's sort of like following him to these different events. And Lang has an idea, Allison. And Lang says, "I saw you use like your SARC module. Have you ever done an autopsy with one? I want you to do a public autopsy of my son."
Oh my God. Who's buying tickets to that? That's insane.
And in response, Tenser says, "Wow." Which I was like, that's an incredible response for this guy to have. Like, even he's like, "I don't know, man. That's fucked up."
That's a lot.
But Lang says, like, "How radical are you? Are you afraid of a little of emotion?" And Tenser says, "I'm afraid of everything." And he walks away.
Same, bro.
And as he leaves, Lang says to him, "If you do this, I promise you there will be some surprises." Allison, I got to ask, specifically if you were Saul Tenser, not yourself, okay, what would you do?
What would you do?
The promise of surprises feels very Tenser. Like, I feel like that's going to be piquing his interest. Like, what would I, Allison Leiby, do? I would have killed myself so long ago. I would be in that upside-down cruise ship. I'm not for this kind of world. But if I...
Yeah, it's a tough one, yeah.
But if I am Saul Tenser, like, you know, there's weird vibes with the organ center. There's people kind of criticizing my work. I'd be like, I mean, we'll talk about it. Ruined is brought to you by Factor. It is so hard to plan and prepare and eat healthy meals every single night of the week, but I'm super excited about Factor. You get every meal is fresh, never frozen, and is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. I mean, this is exactly what I need. It's spring. I want to do stuff. I want to stay fueled, but I don't want to waste any time preparing or shopping or doing any of the stuff that it is to feed yourself as an adult.
Absolutely, and I feel like we've all had the experience of like getting home and being like, oh my God, I can't cook an entire meal. So for me, Factor is a great option in terms of like having food there, like having food on hand. It's also me not wasting groceries. You know what I mean? You can imagine, you see what I'm like on the pod. You can imagine what my fridge looks like. In this way, I have prepared meals ready to go. They're healthy. They are waiting for me.
And it's great because you can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. So like if you're going to be eating out a lot, you can do fewer. If you're like in a kind of a vegan mode, you can do vegan and you can pause and reschedule deliveries all to just suit your lifestyle. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals.
Head to factormeals.com/ruined50 and use the code ruined50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code ruined50 at factormeals.com/ruined50. 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
If anything, you're being more open-minded than Tensor, because Tensor basically is like, I'm not doing this. Absolutely. And what I like about Cronenberg's movies is that on the surface of it, yeah, that would be insane. It's like, you have a problem with this, like someone who's already dead. Meanwhile, you're doing all this. But like the movie follows its own internal logic. Right. Like you do believe where he's like, okay, like, yeah, I do a bunch of freaky stuff, but it's my body. Like, I, right. You know what I mean? That's what,
which
where
does
I'm coming
feel
from.
Like that is a line, I think.
Absolutely. And they do end up talking about this. And Caprice at one point was like, the whole point of what we do is that it's consensual. Like we talk about this, like this is our own thing that we do.
Right.
To then do an autopsy is a different question.
Yeah, especially you know what I mean? When it hasn't been discussed while the person was lit. Like if that's something where yes. You're like, I'm signing now that like you can use my body for performance art autopsies from a large beetle or whatever the hell is going on.
Right.
And then it's like, okay, well, that's what you wanted. Like, I guess that's fine. But like for someone who did not consent to that, it feels icky.
Yeah, it makes me think. I know we've talked about on the podcast before the bodies exhibit.
Yes.
And body worlds. And there is if anyone has seen Body Worlds, I guess this is sort of the German version, but yeah, there's a lot of different there was a moment in our recent history where there were sort of displays of dead bodies, mm-hmm. which it is weird to think about because that was pretty recent.
Yeah.
You know, and people started to ask, well, you know, because I remember seeing them. I saw one in Cleveland with my family. It's like the early to mid 2000s. And we saw Bodies, the exhibition yes. is the one we saw. And, you know, a lot of people were like, okay, so like maybe some of these people did sign up, but some of them, like I remember one in particular was a pregnant woman with a fetus. And they're like, what's the likelihood that that woman thought to do this? Like, what is, like, if I was pregnant, I would maybe have a living will. I wouldn't necessarily jump to Bodies, the exhibit.
Yeah, no. Right? No.
And then it finds out for a lot of those, they were basically bodies obtained from China. And the Bodies, the exhibit, I'm reading this, New York Times, Bodies exhibitors admit corpse origins are murky. Michael Wilson, May 30th, 2008. Basically, the Bodies exhibition could not prove that they were not Chinese prisoners. And it literally, this is the first paragraph, it says they could not prove that they were not prisoners who may have been tortured or executed. The company promised refunds to people who have seen the exhibit. Well, I don't know if that's really the issue at hand. It
doesn't really undo what has happened here.
Obtaining the corpses of Chinese prisoners. Yeah, so, but again, like, it's like, that happened here. That's not even the crime of the future. That's a crime of the present, baby.
Yeah.
That's insane.
That's insane.
And I saw that. I saw the Cleveland Science Museum.
Yeah.
Anyways, back to the future and the crimes thereof. Tensor, they came and they fixed all of his machinery or his bio machinery. Unfortunately, his throat keeps closing up. Even he's trying to eat, he cannot eat or swallow.
That's tough.
So he could breathe, but he cannot consume food, which again, he looks horrible and he's constantly choking and gagging. And she's like, well, you were out late last night. It's like, I like in this moment, there's still like this like jealous, like, well, what were you doing?
Yeah.
And he was like, I went to go see the performance. The ears don't even hear. Okay, embarrassing. But also, this guy Lang propositioned me to perform an autopsy. And I want to talk to you about it. Allison, while they talk, Caprice lies nude in the Sark machine. Mm. And they sort of talk through how they would do it. And again, they have like some ethical concerns, also legal concerns, where it's like, legally, it's our bodies. We could do whatever we want. Right. What does this even mean? You know, like, are you allowed to do that to a dead body? You know?
Right.
And while they're talking, the blade of the Sark slices Caprice's collarbone accidentally. And Allison, she asks him to keep going. And they both take off their clothes and they lay together in the Sark. And they hold each other as like the twin blades of the machine just sort of lightly cut them all open.
Okay.
And they smile and they look at peace. Again, surgery is the new sex. We just...
And they're not in pain from that.
No, they don't feel it.
Weird.
And I think the point is like, we feel it. Like, it's like, we're breathing. Like, yes. This to them, they're not in pain. We are experiencing that pain as the observer, you know? Meanwhile, that night, Tenser meets with a man near the docks. It's Detective Cope. It turns out that Tenser is an informant for the new vice unit, specifically as it relates to all these new organs. Okay. And Cope says, okay, you're a performance artist. This is your whole thing. Why are you doing this? You're pretty deep into this. And he says, I am doing this because the entire point of my art is I am not comfortable with what is happening to me. I don't want this to be happening. I have to make sense of it.
Yes.
But I want you guys to figure out why the fuck is this happening and to stop it. This is incredibly painful to me. So if figuring this out, like, I will help you guys. You let me know what to do. And he gives Detective Cope Dr. Naster's information that he received at the Ear Guys party or the Ear Guys performance. And
the Ear Guys party.
And Tenser like, why are you guys called New Vice? Like, what is the Vice part? Because there's no this isn't a Vice.
Yeah, right.
And he's like, I'll be honest, we just called it that because it's a sexier name and it's harder to get funding with the original name Evolutionary Derangement. It's like, well, yeah, that is.
I feel like we should fund the living fuck out of that Evolutionary Derangement. Like, let's keep an eye on what that is.
Yeah. Again, I'm sure there's so much red tape for getting funding for Evolutionary Derangement.
A new department. Ugh.
But in exchange for his help, Tenser asks, he says, I want information about Lang's wife, Juna, who is currently in jail for the murder of her son. He wants to just talk to her. So he goes to do that over at Lifeform Wear. So it's like during the day, Caprice has dropped off the Sark to be outfitted into an autopsy unit. Because they're like, we're going to go, we have qualms, but if we're going to do it, we should just start outfitting it now. Mm-hmm. And we see Burst and Router again. And they say like, so what's Tenser's deal? Like, why is he so sick? She says he has accelerated evolution syndrome. And that's what all the organs are. It's like they keep happening. And they're concerned again, like what sticks around for the next generation? You know, we don't have kids, but like, what does this mean for the human body to be evolving like this? And Ryder's like, well, he doesn't keep it, right? So like he gets them removed. I mean, like, don't you kind of want to keep him and see what happens? And Capri says it's a breakdown of his entire system. The body needs order. And that's sort of like a larger thing. It's like the body needs order and we need to enforce that order on it.
Okay.
Right. And then also just because we needed to see some titties in this movie, Burst and Router sort of strip down and they climb into the Sark and they call her Caprice like, hey, get a look at us, load of us. And she's like, hey, you guys are crazy. And I don't know if we're supposed to think they just had sex, but we don't see it. She's just like, you guys. And then we cut to.
Later.
Yeah.
The Sark is smoking a cigarette.
Truly. Tenser shows up at Dr. Nassiter's office and Dr. Nassiter's like, oh my God, thank you so much for coming here. I actually have something that you're really going to like. It's called a riplock, which is basically a resealable zipper in Tenser's torso. So you could just go ahead and pop those bad boys out and then you could reseal it. It's like a resealable ziplock.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm sorry. I thought this was about my political problem, which this woman told me I had. And he's like, oh no, politics will come later after you've been registered. And he's like, what are you talking about? He's like, registered in the inner beauty pageant. And they have this moment where it's like, are you joking or what do you mean?
Yeah. What are we talking about?
And because it's the near future, Tenser's like, okay, well, sure, put it in, pop that bad boy in. And Caprice is waiting for him downstairs. And he's again, hacking and coughing all the way down the stairs. And he lifts his shirt to show her the Ziploc bag. Mm. And he said, oh, you know, I'm going to register for the Inner Beauty Pageant in the category Best Original Organ with No Known Function. And she looks at the zipper and she's like, did he just make us obsolete? Because, like, that was our whole thing. It's like, now you can just take him out. And he says, no, it's just like a zippered fly and a pair of pants. It's not sensual. It's not art. Allison, you better believe Caprice gets down on her knees and tells him zippers have their own appeal. And then she unzips his torso and starts eating out his what essentially is now a torso vagina.
Right.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I follow.
And he sort of like leans back against the wall and he says the nastiest thing in this fucking movie. He tells her, don't spill. And I'm like, right. Because I guess all of his organs could potentially dump out while she's fucking going to town on his, I don't even know how to. It's a vulva of the entire body, I suppose.
I guess.
When you're in a long-term relationship, you gotta keep it.
You gotta keep it spicy.
Keep it spicy. And look, you know, if anyone's like been married for a long time, just something to think about. You know what
I'm
saying? Give it a go.
Maybe get a torso vulva and kind of see what goes on there. But you know, don't spill.
Do not spill. You're going to be so upset. Do not do it over the rug. Don't do it under the rug.
That's a bathroom activity.
Yeah, come on. Stand in the bathtub, people.
Wipeable tile floor.
So the next day, Tenser finally goes to see Juna, who is Brecken's mother, and she tells him he was eating a plastic waste paper basket. What would you have done? And he goes, well, I wouldn't kill him.
Right. Like, what are you talking about?
Like, I would be distressed. And she says, he was a thing that my husband invented to torment me. And Tetzer said, I'm just going to say this. They didn't find the body. So the police don't even really believe that she did it. Like, she told them, she confessed. Okay. But because Brecken's body is missing, because Lang took it, it's like, how do you prove to me that you even took it, you know?
Right.
She's like, I don't know. Maybe my friend, you know, my husband's friend took it. Maybe they're going to eat it. He's like, are they cannibals, your husband? And he's like, no, they're only cannibals if you're a Barbie doll. And Tessa's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Okay.
But finally asked, like, okay, so if there were to be an autopsy, something would be revealed about your son's body. If the police were to autopsy your son eventually, what would they find? And she turns and she tells him, outer space.
Okay.
Speaking of Lang, Allison, stay with me. I am asking you to stay with me.
My son is full of outer space. That's why I killed him.
Yes, outer space. Speaking of Lang, we see him go into a big sort of room, a compound, where there's a group of revolutionaries, including a man named Tar. Two R's, okay, not to be mistaken with Lydia Tar.
Right, of course.
Though they probably do know each other.
Yeah.
And we see them manufacturing the purple bars that he makes. Okay. You know, so it's like these beautiful magenta bars, packaging them and bagging them up. And he tells Tar, how quickly can we sort of like wrap this up and be moved if we need to be? And Tar says, are we expecting trouble? And he says, we are going to do the autopsy. It is a go.
Okay.
Meanwhile, confusing. So it's kind of like a dumpy space. Meanwhile, yes. A very elegant space. Caprice watches as a woman gets her face sort of cut into and mutilated with a scalpel by another woman. And she's incredibly compelled by it. Mm-hmm. Whippet's there as well. And Caprice is like, oh my God, this guy. He's like, I'm sorry. New voice tells us we can't come to these things anymore. But like, I have the fever for it. Like, I love this kind of art. Like, I can't not go. Mm-hmm. And the implication is like he and Timlin are now sort of like true believers in this kind of art as like, this is the art, you know?
Okay.
And Caprice is like, okay, great. Don't talk to me. I'm actually famous. So she goes to talk to the artist Odell. And she's like, oh, I'm thrilled with what happened to my face. I love trauma. And Caprice is like, I'll be honest. Like, I saw what you were getting and I had the desire to cut my face open. And Odell says, oh my God, come to the hotel later. That night we see Caprice has had her forehead cut open and sort of a series of half moon shaped objects inserted inside the skin.
Okay. That's like a thing that already people do.
Yeah, exactly. And then, so I think this is supposed to be not that like ridiculous.
Yeah.
So that, because Tenser's really judgmental, but I think the judgment comes from like, that's my thing. Like, oh, yeah, you're trying to
right.
do my thing. Yeah. You're the muse. Like, you're like the helper. I am the star.
I'm Tenser.
And so they always have this sort of like, it's a change in their dynamic. Mm-hmm. And Caprice is like, I want to construct the Brecken show. And he's like, it kind of already has a structure. It's an autopsy.
I mean, there's a start and a finish to this thing.
Yeah. She's like, no, I don't want this to be your thing. I want it to be like my thing, basically. Meanwhile, we see Tenser, Whippet invites Tenser to the National Organ Registry. And he's like, I'll be honest, I am the registrar for the inner beauty pageant. And it sort of takes some convincing when Tenser says like, okay, well, I guess I'll compete. Like, you want me to just be like up for an award? I was going to do this stuff anyways. You know,
right.
Be like, okay. But Timlin stops Tenser on the way out and sort of pushes him in, like, is being very aggressive, both sexually and ideologically. She's like, I'm concerned. Like, it's so easy in our time or like our line of work to be dazzled by the artists we meet. And I think that Whippet's been colluding with some subversive groups and I might have to turn him in because it's really unprofessional. And Tenser says, anyways, have you guys ever come across like a whole system? For example, say a whole digestive system.
Ooh.
Say, I'm just going to say this, a digestive system where you could digest plastic. And she says, no, but I'll be honest, most of the organs we get are because people just remove them one at a time.
Right.
And she's like, wait, so you do
as soon as one shows up, you're going to remove it. You're not going to be like, I wonder if this will attach to something else new. Like, you'll like get it out.
And she says, you don't think that if someone were to keep them and let them accumulate, that means that they were, and she said, oh, I almost said evolving. But she's like, you don't think it would actually mean essentially that your digestive system would change. Also, at the same time, she's trying to make out with him. So she like reaches up to Tenser's
surprise
and puts her fingers in his mouth and sort of scoops out his saliva and puts it in her mouth. and then grabs his face and kisses him. And he clears his throat and he goes, I'm sorry, I'm not very good at the old sex. And kind of like pushes her away. The old sex.
The old sex.
So the autopsy's on Allison, and they go to visit Lang, and he has his son's body in a like a freezer chest, like a you know what I mean, like in his rundown apartment. They open it and look inside, and Caprice just bursts into tears. And she's like, I don't think we should do this. Like, she's immediately having, again, the normal
like being reaction. Like, it's a kid.
Yeah. It's a kid. You know what I mean? But Lang's like, it is necessary, and people need to know about it. And Tinsler's like, well, wouldn't having a formal police autopsy have the same effect? Like, it would show the same thing. He's like, no, that's the fucking point. They're going to cover it up. They keep covering up what is true about his son. And so we finally have like the conversation about it. Lang holds up one of the purple bars and hands it to Tinsler, but Tinsler refuses to eat it. And Lang says, you have to let your body lead you into the future. And Caprice is like, no, we cannot do that. Saul would be dead if we just let his body go fucking crazy and like did whatever it wanted to do. We make art out of anarchy. We control. Like, his body is out of control and we need to control it. And Lang says, are you? Or are you actually interfering with a natural process that your body is trying to go through and you keep stopping it? Mm. And Tinsler's like, we will do this show. We will do the autopsy.
Okay.
That night, Tinsler meets with Detective Cope and says, so I agree to do this. Am I going to be arrested? But Cope says, no, I'm going to allow you to do that because it will let you infiltrate Lang's group. Okay. And
so he's got a whole team.
Yes. And Tinsler's like, well, I don't actually know what the group is, so could you just fucking tell me? Finally, Cope says it. They eat plastic, Allison.
Yeah. And, I mean, also, we all eat plastic.
Right. But the thing is, they can digest it. Mm. They have evolved.
Okay.
And they are capable of it, and the government is panicking about it because it is an uncontrolled evolution of the body, right?
That seems like best case scenario, what happens to us.
I know. And I think that's the point of the movie is like, you could be horrified by something, but it's only by getting through that horror could you actually get to the next phase.
Yeah, we got to start being able to digest plastic.
We should be so fucking lucky. We're all going to be, it's going to be Activia with like plastic dissolving enzymes in it. This, we're going to have to be choking down.
I know. What, like,
all of our toys in the 90s.
What would the bad thing about people being able to digest plastic be?
It's entirely, existential and ideological.
Right.
So Detective Cope is like, they're evolving away from the human path. And I think that's supposed to be like, we're representing like how we think about religion. And I think there's a lot of different like allegories to me as a queer person. It's a queer allegory. It's a trans allegory. Mm-hmm. But also it's like us, our understanding of, and I think broadly like American culture is like the idea that we're using these old templates of how things are to be like, well, people did this in the Bible or people did this 200 years ago. It's like, we have to be able to move on.
Yeah.
It's killing us to keep having to live in the way that we used to live. You see all the negative consequences of us not running up into it, including climate change. Absolutely. We are in denial about it because we've always been in denial about it.
Right.
We have to then move to the next stage. But you're right. There's no benefit to not acknowledging this other than our own terror and the lack of control
about
that comes
change.
From
change. Yeah.
So Detective Cope's like, yeah, just go ahead and do the autopsy because then you'll be in with the group and like, we'll be able to use you as a undercover informant, basically. Meanwhile, Dr. Nassiter gets a knock on the door. Dr. Nassiter is also in his breakfaster chair trying to eat his egg or whatever. Mm-hmm. The door opens. It's Router and Burst from Lifeformware, and they say, oh, we got a call to fix her chair. Of course, we see them leave. We pan up. Dr. Nassiter is dead in the chair. They've killed him. Meanwhile, we see Tinsler and Caprice, they visit Lang, and basically Lang sort of gives them the rundown, you know? Mm-hmm. All the commune members have had an elaborate surgery to be able to digest plastics. We are all, this is like, again, not a cult necessarily, but a collective. Mm-hmm. And we all said, we're going to fucking do this. And he says, if we're going to live on the earth, we have to be able to eat our own industrial waste. We've gone too far. We have to be able to do it. Which, watch this, I'm like,
yes.
Roll
I'm
credits.
In.
Absolutely. Everyone should be fucking getting this. But the thing is, Brecken was the first child born with a digestive system that can naturally digest plastic.
Okay.
So his father got the surgery and then the mother freaked out about it and resented Lang that Brecken was sort of becoming something other than human in a traditional sense.
Right.
But Tinsler, again, because there's still some reality in this world, it's like, so you're saying your surgically acquired thing became heritable? That's not possible. And And of course, Lang's like, it is possible. That's why we have to do the autopsy in a public way. There's no other way for me to get this information out so that the world will see there's a different future is possible. And it's a horrific way to do it, but I don't know how else to convey this to people because otherwise it just gets covered up.
Right.
So Allison, it's time for the Brecken Show. And I ask you this question now, who will survive this film?
Who will survive?
Oh boy. Well, Brecken's already gone out of the picture.
Yeah.
I think that Lang will survive and like continue on in his efforts to bring plastic digestion to human evolution.
Okay, great.
I think Tenser will survive, but his partner will die.
Okay.
And then who are the... I think Cope will die.
Okay.
And then who else?
We got Whippet and Timlin from the organ registry.
At least one of them is out of the picture, if not both.
And then Burst and Router from Lifeformware.
I want Router to survive because that name is too good to lose.
Too good to lose.
Too good to lose.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
So we are now, it is the day of the show. Everyone's there. Whippet and Timlin are there. You know, they shouldn't be there. Burst and Router are there too. And Tenser is sort of offstage controlling this Sark. And Caprice is essentially giving a eulogy. This is a tough fucking scene. This is one of the hardest scenes I've ever seen in a movie. Okay. But I also cried during it. Like, I feel like I got what we were trying to get out of, like, depicting a dead child. So you see his body. It is a little boy's body. Hmm. It's obviously digitally, like, altered. Like, yes. I mean, it's not, like, a actual child that is, like, painted up and laying there. It obviously, it is a synthetic corpse. Yes. You know what I mean? But, you know, she starts talking about, like...
We've all wanted to see an autopsy, haven't we? We've all felt that the body was empty. Empty of meaning. And we've wanted to confirm that. So that we could fill it with meaning.
Caprice just starts crying. Because, again, she is feeling something in a world where it is very difficult to feel. And we sort of see, you know, his torso, Brecken's torso is opened. And she said, let us look for meaning in, that lies locked in the poem that was the child. I'm going to cry. Sorry.
Oh.
No, it's just, but we'll talk about why I'm crying. Because to me, it's like, this is very, like, tied to a lot of stuff that's happening in, you know, society that we all are also, like, completely not in. Like, we're not having conversations about.
Right.
And you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes.
So, finally, they open up Brecken's torso. And when we see the internal organs, they are covered with tattoos, much like Caprice tattoos Tenser's organs.
Okay.
But these are not Caprice's design, which are very elaborate. These are like mother, a heart, anchor. This is a facsimile of Caprice's work, but it's not her work.
Okay.
And she says, she doesn't even notice that at first. And she's like, basically, we see that the crudeness, the desperation, and the ugliness of the world has seeped inside even our youngest and most beautiful. And through this, we see that the world is killing our children. Oh, sorry, from the inside out. And she's like, the problem with an autopsy is, the problem with the first autopsy, which is like, this is the first autopsy you've done, is like, the first autopsy begets a second autopsy, begets a third. And if we don't learn from it, that's what's going to happen. Of course, Everett is horrified and is like shocked, which is the point of it. It's like,
Performance art.
Doing this. Exactly.
It's like, all for like, eliciting some kind of response like that, where it's like,
baby, we didn't do this for people not to be horrified. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then, but the thing is, the organs appear to be normal human organs. They're not different in any way. Mm. And we see Lang run outside sobbing, and he runs out into the steps. And he's like, that's not what was inside him. That she must have done something. My ex-wife must have switched him out, or somebody did something.
Oh.
And Burst and Router find him on the steps, and they're like, you know, it wasn't her. She wouldn't have done that, you know? And he's like, no, somebody must have done it. And they say, well, it definitely wasn't your ex-wife. Allison, they both take out a power drill and they just drill Lang in the back of the head, killing him, knocking him down the stairs.
Oh, that's
horrific. So Lang, exactly. So Tenser meets Detective Cope at the docks, and Tenser also acknowledges, like, that was a hack job. Somebody replaced his fucking organs. Oh, what the fuck was that? And Cope's like, yeah, so sorry, we did have to do that. We had somebody replace his organs. It was actually Timlin from the National Organ Registry.
Oh.
We cannot let people know the truth, which is that he did have an all-natural system that can digest plastics. Tenser is obviously extremely upset.
Yeah, that's deeply upsetting.
He's like, what are you talking about? And Tenser was like, bitch, who did you think you were informing to? We're the government.
Yeah, they're only going to do the wrong thing every time.
Right, like, we have to keep, like, Cat can't get out of the box, man. People would be terrified. They'd panic. It is better for us to hide the truth than to have people panic when they see reality.
Right.
Which does seem insane, but again, we do that constantly.
Absolutely.
And Tenser says, so who assassinated Lang? And Cope says, I actually don't know about that. That wasn't us. And Tenser says, well, I guess the only benefit of his death is he'll be a martyr. He'll be a martyr to the cause.
Yeah.
And Cope looks at him and says, like, the cause, like, you sound like you're a believer. And Tenser looks at him and just walks away. That night, he tries to sleep on the floor of his room.
Okay.
And of course he can't. He's like in horrible pain. And Caprice comes over and wakes him up. And she's also like shaking and gagging. And she says, you know, in your sleep, it felt like you were in pain. What is it like? And because she's never experienced pain. And he's like, it's hard to explain because I only, like, it becomes a part of the dreaming. So I can't really separate it. Mm. And she says, I was asleep too. And when I was dreaming, I almost felt like I was feeling something. And they all talk about how they were dreaming of the, you know, Lang, Juna, and Brecken in the Sark together, you know, and that Caprice and Tenser are both at the controls. In the morning, he is back in the breakfaster. And again, Tenser cannot eat anything. And Caprice says, all right, what do you think? And he says, yeah, I think it's time. And she goes and gets one of the bars, the purple bars. And she hands it to him, and he bites into it. And Allison, he smiles, and his eyes filled with tears. The crimes of the future.
What?
So I think we're too late.
I think I...
You let me know. What do you think happened?
I think that they went and got those organs from the from the original organs. I can't tell if I think that they did it together or maybe he did it, but like the fact that like, I think they went and got those organs and put them in his body to see if it would like solve his pain.
See, I think that he naturally was evolving those organs naturally. So like he was someone
that's what those were.
Yeah, his body kept trying to, he kept removing them, but his body kept making organs so that he could also digest plastic. And that's
why he actually ate plastic, it stopped the pain because the pain was that he was like not getting something that keeps them going.
Yeah, and I think it's sort of like he's
figure out the logic.
He's trying to eat. Yeah, again, it's a metaphor, but yeah, like we're trying to eat. You're trying to put something in your body that your body can no longer handle, right? So it's like, well, confronting the horrific reality, which is, yeah, girl, you should be eating plastic. And when he finally does, it's interesting because I've seen people be like, "That's a horrifying ending." I'm like, "Well, it's only horrifying if you don't want to acknowledge how much plastic is the planet." Like,
yeah, right. Like that, we might need this.
Yeah, to me, I was like, that's a very hopeful ending that it's possible for us to live on a planet that we've
destroyed.
Destroyed, you know. But then the other thing, and I'm going to cry talking about this, which is I was going to talk about like microplastics as sort of a theme. But watching this, really the thing, you know, again, we're recording this on Friday, April 7th. The thing that came to mind was gun violence, you know, and there's a Washington Post article. If I think people should read it, I think it's, you know, I mean, it's something where it's like we all have to be cognizant of it. Mm-hmm. And so it is a Washington Post article. The title is, "This is How Bullets from an AR-15 Blow the Body Apart."
I've seen
it is a conversation, and it has diagrams from two actual child victims of a school shooting. And their children's parents are a part of this. Again, this is also the authors. Let me read the authors' names in case you want to look it up. N. Kirkpatrick, Arthur Mirza, and Manuel Canales. This is on March 27th, the Washington Post. And they talk about and show diagrams of this, what the effect it has on a child. And the idea is, it is exactly what you think it is. Yep. No one should own an AR fucking 15. And the actual two shooting victims is a 6-year-old Noah Posner, 15-year-old Peter Wang. And you could see their entrance and exit wounds. And I know that it's horrifying to say, but I feel like watching this movie, it's like, this is the issue. It's like, in the movie, the only thing that could elicit any feeling from anyone was the death of a child. We live in a world where even the death of children does not rattle us. I mean, it rattles us.
I mean,
it doesn't rattle.
the people who are actually able to make any policies that would protect exactly. them. And there is that like oft circulated tweet or quote or whatever it is where it's like, it stopped being a debate about gun violence the second that we did it, that we didn't care when it happened at Sandy Hook.
Yeah. And I think this week, as you probably know, as people who are, you know, care about or listen to the news, there are three Tennessee Democrats mm-hmm. who joined a protest, a anti-gun violence protest in the Tennessee Capitol. Two of them, Representative Justin Jones and Representative Justin Pearson, who are young Black men, they were both expelled from the state legislature for taking part in a necessary protest.
Right.
And there is a third—
That was led by children who are genuinely afraid to go to school because of what gun violence has wrought on this country.
Exactly. And, you know, as the third person was a— sorry, what is her name? Gloria.
Yeah.
Gloria Johnson, who herself called out, like, I am a six-year-old white woman. I was not expelled. I wasn't voted out. These right. two young Black men were. Like, that, right. again, like, so that's, like, the racist element of it. And I just want to bring that up specifically. One, these things are just going to keep happening, right? Yes. Like, so what can we all do to be engaged with it? To me, watching this is, like, that's the problem, is that we all should be— It's sort of like, I feel like conservatives, like kind of like for a while, we're saying like facts don't care about your feelings.
Right.
Our feelings make the facts of this country. Yes. If we feel fucked out of this, we should make the fact of laws regulating guns a reality.
Absolutely.
So the idea that our feelings are not important, we should be feeling. You know what I mean? Like, I cry, like, all reading all of this is horrifying. It's That's horrific. Actually good. It is good.
The
that
desensitization to exactly. the violence that is happening that is so specifically endangering children is, we need to continue to be as upset as we are
yeah.
the first time, because it is never less upsetting. It is only getting worse.
And so the thing that I because again, I we're trying to think of like offering specific solutions. So yes. obviously we're part of Crooked Media. They have a fund right now called Vote Save Tennessee. So basically, Justin Jones and Justin Pearson were expelled. There's going to be a special election. At least as of right now, that's the plan. Again, this is going to come out in a couple weeks, so who knows what will happen. Yeah. But they can be reelected to those positions. Also, if not them, other people who are not yes. Republicans can be elected to those. So if you would like to be a part of it, if you live in Tennessee, there's a lot of different ways to become involved. Obviously, if you'd like to donate, if you don't live in Tennessee. And then just in general, if you want to— you could Google Vote Save Tennessee if you want to donate to this, you know, for their campaigns. Alternately, if you just want to go to Vote Save America and find things for your state, there's a lot of like helpful information connecting you with mm-hmm. like different organizations, ways to donate, and like dates around voting, which I know, again, people are very nihilistic about voting, but this is the exact kind of shit where it's like everyone has to be fucking voting. And we know that voting is important because they keep trying to gerrymander everywhere and prevent us right. from voting. So in right. case you're like, I don't know what to do, I can only vote, donate money, keep doing that.
Keep doing both of those
also,
things.
You know, we're going to, like, we'll discuss and figure out ways that we could also show up. Because this kind of yes. stuff, on every fucking possible way, yeah, exactly, it's unacceptable. So we just wanted to bring that up and direct yeah. you to that. And we hope that is helpful to you. And if not, again, I don't know. It's like we all have to be talking about these things in whatever language makes sense. And mm-hmm. as we've discussed on the pod, like, horror is a language that which we talk about horrifying things. This is a horrifying yeah. movie that is clearly an analogy for what we are doing to children. This is a mm-hmm. very specific example of like, this should not happen. These right. people were expelled for standing up for what is right. So yeah. that's
and just
it.
Because it's, you know, just because the Constitution says that you can have guns does not mean that we have to continue to always be held to that old, you know, it's the same argument as religion. Like, just because we did doesn't mean we always should. And we should evolve, and we should evolve like as far away from guns as possible.
Yeah. And again, the founding fathers aside, like, it's like the idea that like they could have never known that an average citizen would have an AR-15 anyways. Like, it is horrific to think about. Back to the movie, Allison. What are some fatal mistakes you think people may have made in Crimes of the Future?
Fatal mistakes.
I mean, that one guy should have gotten functional ears attached all over him. It's like, if you're gonna do it, just do it.
Sorry,
you know? Like, just for show, ears, get out of here.
Also, I'm sorry, couldn't you just lie and be like, I hear out of all of them. Oh, don't be so loud. Like, how would anyone know if you can't hear?
Right. Nobody's gonna, like, you were in charge of that truth. Like, you can just tell people.
also it's his choreographer who is telling people. So that's very funny too. We're just like, it doesn't even work. Like, it's like you're just spreading like intra-performance art community
gossip.
It's
like a toxic artistic relationship.
Oh, I love it. That's so funny.
So great.
Other than that, I was like, well, I guess being bored in the near future, huge mistake. You know?
Everything seemed to be coming from the top down of a terrible place. So it's hard to like function within that when, you know, there's not much you can do.
And then I guess one thing that I don't think is addressed, or maybe I just didn't understand it, is like when they killed Lang, are we to believe that the people from Lifeformware are killing people just so they can continue to sell these?
Yeah, because like, I guess there's probably people like Tensor where it's like, oh, the evolution of these organs and organ systems is painful until you are like eating plastic and aware that you can digest plastic. And it's like, he didn't, like, if he doesn't need the bed and the chair anymore, then they're out a customer.
Yeah.
Capitalism,
so I think that
baby.
Is what we're supposed to, it sucks. I know. Yeah. So not a film for everybody, a tough watch for sure, but something I really got a lot out of and felt really relevant now.
Yeah. For sure.
Where are we putting this on the spooky scale, Allison?
A spooky scale.
I mean, this one, this feels like an 8, 9. It's the troubling scale. It's a 15.
Yeah, I'm going to give this a 9. This really fucked me up the first time I saw it, and it fucked me up again. Yeah, it's sort of like how Hereditary isn't scary, most of it. It's just deeply disturbing.
Yes.
Like, this is not like, oh my God, but there are so many moments where it is, you're so filled with dread in a way that is terrifying. So I agree. I'm going to give this a 9.
Yeah, 9 feels right.
Well, everyone, thank you for listening to this tough episode. If you just joined us, this was a doozy to join us on.
Welcome to Ruined.
And if you've been a longtime listener, thank you for joining us as we make this switch over to Crooked. Obviously, nothing on your end will change other than us becoming more politically minded about it. But that's we're all there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like that was happening either way.
Yeah, anyone with any platform has to be talking about these. There's really no other way we're going to be able to fix any of this if we're not engaging with these ideas and talking to each other about them. So thank you for listening. And, listen, until next time, please
keep it spooky.
Ruined is a Radio Point and Crooked Media production. We're your writers and hosts, Hallie Kiefer and Allison Leiby. The show is executive produced by Alex Bach, Sabrina Fonfetter, and Houston Snyder, and recorded and edited by Kat Iosa. From Crooked Media, our executive producer is Kendra James, with production and promotional support from Ari Schwartz, Kyle Siegelin, Julia Beach, Caroline Dunphy, and Awa Okolati. Follow at Ruined Podcast on Instagram and Twitter for show updates, and at The Radio Point and at Crooked Media for more original content.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.